Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Okay, welcome to the show tonight. Biden not only cheated his way into the White House, as I've said before, he has done everything he can to destroy the America that Trump had built back up by tearing it all down and then taking credit for the things he didn't do. And the stuff he is doing and his administration too is downright illegal. We have proof. When is we going to say enough is enough? Welcome to NWCR Radio Show, where liberalism and Biden meets the truth. From Western Journal comes this one, headlined, Texas rancher details horror, terror migrants are putting his family through at night. President Joe Biden's border crisis is actually a humanitarian disaster. It's not just that illegal immigrants, actually illegal migrant people, are being squeezed into overcrowded facilities like cattle, but also that property owners in the border states have seen what have been left fending for themselves against the onslaught. Texas rancher John Sewell appeared on Fox News on Thursday to share an ordeal that he says is the worst he's seen quarter of a century, with migrants tearing down our fences. They're coming to our houses at night and leaving his family in fear. Quote, I've been here for about 25 years, so I've seen, under many administrations, I've seen lots of trouble. Unquote, Sewell told America's Newsroom hosts Bill Hemmer and Dana Perino, quote, but I've never seen it at this level, and I've never seen it with this quality of people, unquote. While he acknowledged the migrants who usually come through his Texas town are there to better themselves and better their lives, he said this new crop seems to be more confrontational than in the past. They have something to lose, Sewell said, speculating that it might be human trafficking driving this influx on his ranch. You know, my problem is I'm 40 miles from the border, he continued. So it's not like I'm sitting at the edge of the border with all these people are coming across the river at me. Sewell said his property is right before a highway checkpoint. So smugglers are bringing migrants there and dropping them off, and they're coming through my property. And that in turn has caused lots of heartache for us. He added that they're tearing down our fences and they're coming to our houses at night, preventing him from allowing his daughter to walk in the driveway or jog or exercise because of this without having a dog with her. Sewell pointed out that there was nobody to protect his family since the U.S. Border Patrol agents are busy working to keep unaccompanied minors under control in a facility rather than out there in the field. We're overwhelmed, he said. I mean, we've been thrown to the wolves here as far as I'm concerned. But what Sewell really wanted to convey was how the establishment media has been hiding the worst of the problem with the illegals that are the illegal immigration crisis and the hopeless situation that President Joe Biden has created. And yes, folks, he has created this. He's the one who told them to come. He's the one who told them that America's borders were going to be open. He's the one who said all this. You know, and that's where the media has got all this wrong. If they really want to see what's going on and what they don't want to see, then they need to come and visit people like me that have to battle this every day in their own backyard, Sewell said. As for possible government solutions, Sewell said he has very little confidence in anything that we're doing right now, including putting Vice President Kamala Harris in charge of the border crisis. At least in the prior administration, we had a plan, Sewell said of former President Donald Trump's administration, which was tough on illegal immigration.
But what we saw in that Senate today
with a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option.
Show me where it says that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. He would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Okay, welcome back on this, the 26th day of March. But it's hard to believe January and February and March is pretty much gone, folks. This year is almost a quarter of the way through. And it just started the other day, it seems like. I am now on my new computer. I am using my old computer for news and things like that, but I'm on my new computer now. I tested the microphone. It should be working. We've got a two-hour show going tonight, but, you know, it's like I said, April is well on its way, folks, and before my next show, it will be April, and warm weather is on its way, too. We've got upper 70s coming in this coming week, which is going to be really awesome. Right now it's cloudy out there. We got really dark clouds up against the mountain, and it's raining up there right at the moment. But it's probably raining on snow that's already up there. But welcome to the show, and the call-in number is 646-478-5284. A week or so ago, my church here in Albuquerque held a huge service where Charlie Kirk was a speaker. It was great, and so many people were there that we had to put some in the gymnasium to house all of them. But after all that, Charlie Kirk was on the Victory Channel's Flashpoint, where he was talking about the things that he is pushing in his ministry, so to speak. But this is what Charlie Kirk said on the Victory Channel's Flashpoint.
And I agree with that. All right, let's move on. We're talking about reopening America. Well, this past Sunday, my next guest was at Legacy Church in New Mexico. Hear what he had to say.
I could tell you, I've traveled the country. You know, our podcast is doing very well. We get thousands of emails. And what people are saying more than anything else in the Christian world is, why is my church not open? Why is my pastor not standing? Why can Steve open and my church not be open? And the answer is because moral courage is very rare right now. Moral courage is very rare right now. And Steve and this church has decided to do the right thing. Not the easy thing, but the right thing. We fail to realize as Christians that we're in the midst of a big theological debate in our country. And it's a theological debate that the media and the politicians don't want to admit. This last year has really exposed it.
With me now, Charlie Kirk from Turning Point USA. Charlie, welcome to Flashpoint tonight. So glad you're here. Charlie, there's something I saw, a video of you from this weekend, and I just thought it was so powerful. I want you to share again. It was the three rules every Christian should demand for their government. Tell us what those are.
Yeah, totally. I was speaking at my friend's church, Steve Smotherman, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I try to make every one of my lectures or my speeches a little bit different. And I thought it would be helpful if there was a framework that Christians could work from on how we should interact with and what we should demand from our government. So I put together three things that every Christian should be able to agree on. Number one, that life begins at conception, that if it's not your DNA, it's not your choice, that we are image bearers in the womb and that we must be pro-life. In every single public policy decision, but most importantly in the womb, and we must stop the 1 million abortions happening in our country every single year. Number two, that we should never lock down our country again in regards to the church. The church is essential. In fact, it's the most essential thing in our country, and we cannot disallow believers from gathering in person and allow these tyrants and these dictators and these central authorities to come in and shut down the church. And the third thing is that the church must be vocal about God created man and God created woman. We are seeing this in the transgender nonsense, this debate that's happening right now, this gender fluidity that has been roaring across the country. This is where the church needs to stand up and Christians need to make it clear. And so those are three things that every Christian should demand from their government. That's not an exhaustive list. That's a good starting point. But any Christian who believes in the Word of God, who believes in the inerrancy of Scripture, there's no debate on those three things.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one thing I so enjoy about what you do, Charlie, is, in fact, I heard you say this, if I remember the quote right, I go to church campuses so you don't have to. You really reach the younger generation than my generation. We're going, what are these guys thinking? I want you to speak to education, higher education right now. End-to-end, you know, we talk about Christian, we're a Christian conservative channel. We don't make any bones about it. We're all of this program. We're not fair and balanced. If you're looking for fair and balanced, go somewhere else. This is who we are. And Judeo-Christian values where we're at. So it's hard for most moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas out there, when they hear some of the things their college-age children and grandchildren are saying, what happened in our education system?
Yeah, we lost our education system a long time ago. Education comes from the Latin word to lead forth, and we have been doing a very poor job of leading young people forth into truth and meaningful lives to be able to develop character and to become better people. In fact, what happens in college is the exact opposite. We teach young people that there is no such thing as absolute truth. There is no such thing as beauty. There is no such thing as the good. And instead, you create very angry, bitter, and quite honestly, secular people that want to be part of some form of a purpose, and that purpose ends up being a leftist revolution more times than not. And so parents are now seeing that when they send their kids to college, they might be playing Russian roulette with their kids' values. Colleges are not places of debate. They're not a place of dialogue. They're not a place of the pursuit of what is meaningful in the world. Instead, college campuses have become places of, I would call them, islands of totalitarianism.
And On that one, Charlie Kirk is absolutely freaking right on this. Our schools ceased to be leaders for our children a long time ago. And right now, I am proud of my church and my pastor, Steve Smotherman, who has been strong enough, like Charlie Kirk said, Christians must be, to fight the tyranny of our government and our left, liberal leftist ideals that have shut down our nation and our churches for over a year now. And like Charlie said, it's time to reopen America. My church has been fined by the governor here, and I don't really call her a governor. She's a dictator. But she, here in New Mexico, she's fined my church $5,000 twice. And each time, my church said that they will not pay it. And many Christians around are saying, just pay it and go on with what you're doing. But my pastor tells them that paying it would just tell them that tell the tyrannical dictator of our state that she is right. She isn't. It's like Will Cow on the radio always said, we are right, they are wrong. In this one, tyrannical dictator Governor Grisham is wrong, and we are right. All the Democrats in this state are wrong. I have talked before of Jacob Candelaria, Democrat of Bernalillo County, and his idea that he is in charge. He is no one's employee, according to him. And people like me need to read the Constitution of the state so that I can know that he, as a lawyer, is right. But I know the Constitution. I know I've read the Constitution of this state. I've read the Constitution of the United States. And both of them say he is an employee of the people. His only job is to be there for the people, to represent the people. The state's constitution is the same way. He doesn't believe that, and neither does our Tater governor. She has always said that when the state gets too green, which a lot of counties here in the state already are, she would reopen New Mexico. Well, she hasn't. But what she really did was to make what happened when the counties turned green and mostly green and yellow, and we don't even have a red county in our state anymore, she added another color to keep us closed down. The new color now is turquoise. But what comes after that when most are that color? And another one is coming, folks. Do not doubt me on this. Another one will come. That is what the Democrats do. Facts don't matter to them. Science doesn't matter to them. Only their warped ideals do. And we the people are suffering under those ideals. The state this last weekend, after my show on Friday, held rallies all over the state from here in Albuquerque to Roswell to Alamogordo to Artesia, where people were rallying to let her know that they were tired of her rules and that it was time to reopen the state. Nothing from the dictator yet, but the people are starting to speak out. And this is something that we've got to really start looking at here, because the media won't talk about this. The media will never talk about this because it goes against their agenda. The leftist in this country, socialism. And actually they've really in their ideals of the things that they're trying to do, they've actually gone past socialism and they're heading straight to communism. And that's what they want. But what we have here, folks, is we've got ourselves a state that right now is mostly green and turquoise. There's a few yellow counties around, but there's no red ones anymore. But are we opened up? Well, no, we are not. The dictator of this state is keeping us locked up. And it's just like my pastor, Steve Smotherman at Legacy Church said, it's time to open up the church. It's just like Charlie Kirk said, it's time to open up America. But we have these dictator tyrants running these states like New Mexico and California and Michigan and New York, who have decided for themselves that the only thing that's going to happen is that we're going to be kept locked up. The people don't matter. The people need to be locked up so that they know who's the boss. Yeah. And the sad part about this is if you read the Constitution of the United States, it will tell you that the bosses are the people, not the politicians, not the president, not the governors, not the legislators in the of the counties, like Jacob Candelaria here, who in an email told me he is no one's employee, that I need to read the Constitution because the Constitution does not make him an employee. And then he added, on top of that, he added that he is a lawyer. He knows what he's talking about. Well, I'm sorry to say he does not know what he's talking about. He is an employee of the people. Jacob Candelaria is a Democrat. And because he's a Democrat, he thinks that he's in charge, but he's not. The problem comes in with the media, because the media will back his side of it every time. And the media is actually getting pushed around right now because the conservative media is actually getting to the point where they're pushing back, and they're pushing back hard on a lot of these people. We have a newspaper here in New Mexico called the Pinion Post. It is the conservative newspaper of New Mexico. 99% of the people in this state read the Albuquerque Journal, which is a liberal rag that will not tell the truth about anything if it has to do with Trump or the Republicans or anything else. And they are fully behind the governor in keeping us locked down. It's just the same thing as in California, although Governor Newsom is losing that battle because the signatures to recall him are way above what they needed to be. Now he's fighting back, saying that Republicans are to blame for this because he didn't do anything wrong. Well, yeah, he did. It's just like Cuomo in New York. He did everything wrong. And then he blamed Trump for the problems he was having. No, the problems he was having was because of his own policies. Right now, California has got a conservative running for governor. And he wants to get rid of the sales tax. He wants to get rid of all the things that the Democrats are pushing. And I've got a story on that somewhere in the mix of my stuff here. But we will be right back after these messages.
You are listening to NWCR Radio, where the truth rings free with the voice of reason in this very unreasonable world.
Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America.
Thank you.
Conservative Nation Media, or CNM as the network has been shortened to, is growing again. Airing on Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, we have our very own Uncle Bing Fisher back on CNM because now is the time for this network and his show, American by Design. As before, but with more urgency than ever, American by Design is back with the mellow voice of Bing, and that voice will help keep us all informed about what the Democrats have in store for us and why we have to fight them every step of the way, because socialism is not for us, freedom is. Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, American by Design with our very own Uncle Bing Fisher back on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. Okay, we are back. The call-in number is 646-478-5284. Representative Yvette Harrell, Republican here in New Mexico, will be held a roundtable with members of Congress from across the nation in Artesia, focusing on oil and gas yesterday. Harrell has been pushing back along with other Republican members of Congress against Joe Biden's extreme anti-energy agenda, including his moratorium on federal drilling permits. Now, his federal drilling permits here in New Mexico actually really hurt this state because when it comes to our schools, oil and gas was what funded most of our schools. When Biden took over, he shut that down. Now our schools, according to our dictator governor, is supposed to be opening up in April. But I really don't see that happening because the funding for our schools is now gone. Harrell has urged other members of New Mexico's congressional delegation to join her and Governor Grisham in urging Biden to exempt New Mexico for his corrosive anti-energy policies. This is the one time that I've heard of Grisham actually pushing back against Biden as she has allowed the oil industry here in New Mexico to be shut down. According to Alex Ross of the Roswell Daily Record, Harrell was joined in Artesia by Representative Ronnie Jackson, Republican of Texas, Representative Claudia Tinney, Republican of New York, and Representative Steve Stauber, Republican of Minnesota, to discuss the critical issue. Artesia is a small town. It is in Eddy County and is the home for the second largest oil-producing county in the state, with the Navajo Refinery and the oil and the Holly Corporation. Harrell has been extremely active in Congress, and which is a good thing. She's a freshman congresswoman. She's fighting with her colleagues for many common sense measures, such as punishment for people who murder police officers, a strong border, a strong agricultural industry, protecting oil and gas, and fighting for free and fair elections, all the things the Democrats are now rallying against. On March 16th, Harrell joined a congressional delegation visiting the southern border in Texas, which included Republican leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, and Representative Michael Cloud, Republican of Texas. She also visited the U.S.-Mexico border in New Mexico, where she pointed out the meager fence protecting miles of border, which is allowing criminal aliens to pour into the U.S. And there was a picture of that fence. And it's not really a fence. All it is just a bunch of pieces of wood that are nailed together in the form of an X, and they're just lined up down across the desert there. And that's the fence. I mean, anybody can just walk up to it and climb and just go over. It'd be no problem at all. But Representative Harrell recently opened two district offices, one in Roswell and one in Las Cruces. She said, "My staff have already helped hundreds of constituents before even setting foot in their offices. We haven't missed a beat in being accessible to those needing assistance and in communicating with local leaders across the district," unquote. This nation needs more people like Yvette Harrell, who takes representing the people seriously. This roundtable actually happened yesterday here in New Mexico, and that was something that it was like this last weekend. I found out as the rallies were happening last weekend that they were happening, and it was too late for me to get over there, so I didn't get to attend. But if I'd have known about them, I would have attended. Because, you know, especially if you live in a state that is liberal, the people need to start speaking out. The people need to start getting themselves going and letting the leaders know that they're mad as hell. We're not going to take it anymore. This whole thing has to be stopped. Thankfully, we do have a few people who are trying. Tucker Carlson this last week just caught two Democrat senators breaking a major law. And because of Tucker Carlson, Democrats got some bad news, and it came from the most high-profile source. And Tucker Carlson just caught them breaking this major law in a shocking way. Tucker Carlson took Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth and Hawaii Senator Mazie Hirono to task for their pledge to oppose all Biden nominees until Biden appointed more minority nominees. Well, folks, this is illegal. Tammy Duckworth of Minnesota and Mazie Hirono of Hawaii publicly informed the White House that until Biden administration puts more people they like in powerful jobs, they will refuse to confirm any white nominees. Quote, "I'm a no vote on the floor on all non-diversity nominees," Duckworth said out loud with the cameras rolling. "I will vote for racial minorities and I will vote for LGBTQ, but anybody else I'm not voting for." Carlson pointed out that denying an individual a federal job based on race, good to see you people in the chat room, based on race violated the 1964 Civil Rights Act. The Title VI of the 1964 Civil Rights Act opens this way, quote, "No person in the United States shall, on the grounds of race, color, or national origin, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any program or activity receiving federal financial assistance," end quote, Carlson added. Duckworth and Hirono quickly backed down from their racist threat to vote only on nominees based on their skin color. Instead, Biden appeased Duckworth and Hirono by appointing a liaison of Asian nominees. Duckworth and Hirono are considered two of the most radically identity politics practitioners in Congress. Last summer, Duckworth sided with rioters who wanted to tear down statues of George Washington. But her comments that she would only support nominees based on a racial litmus test was something out of the ugly segregation era. We here at CNM and NWCR will keep you up to date on any new developments on this ongoing story. The Democrats constantly think that they are above the law. But I will tell you now, they are not. And things are starting to fall apart for them. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is in more hot water after it was revealed that he ordered health officials to let his family cut to the front of the line for the Wuhan coronavirus testing during the early days of the pandemic. With the help of New York Health Commissioner Howard Zucker, Cuomo used his position of privilege to prioritize his own family over the New Yorkers he is paid to serve. Brother Chris Cuomo of fake news empire CNN was among the first in New York to receive a Chinese virus test last spring, along with his mother and at least one of his sisters. Some of Cuomo's family members received multiple tests. We now know that Chris, a.k.a. Fredo, was tested at his home in Long Island. The Cuomo family's tests were referred to in communications as critical samples, which indicated that they needed to also be processed ahead of those submitted by the unwashed masses. Other well-known figures and friends of Cuomo who received Wuhan flu tests before everyone else include Rick Cotton, executive director of Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, along with his wife, Patricia Foy, head of the New York's Metropolitan Transportation Authorities, and his wife and other unnamed media members and state legislatures. Just like he is doing with the rape and sexual assault allegations levied against him, Cuomo fully denies that he did anything wrong by giving his family preferential treatment over the other New Yorkers. Richard Azzopardi, Cuomo's top advisor, says any suggestions otherwise are insincere efforts to rewrite the past. No, folks, what the left is doing is rewriting the past, not Tucker Carlson, not the ones who are putting this out for people to hear. In the early days of this pandemic, there was a heavy emphasis on contact tracing. We were absolutely going above and beyond to get people testing, including in some instances going to people's homes and door to door in places like New Rochelle to take samples from those believed to have been exposed to COVID in order to identify cases and prevent additional ones, as Azzopardi is quoted as saying. Among those we assisted were members of the general public, including legislators, reporters, state workers, and their families who feared that they had contracted the virus and had the capability to further spread it. Okay. That being said, the reason why people are scared is because of the media. And I've talked about this one before. Here in New Mexico, people are freaking scared to death. They walk around all alone outside with the sun shining brightly on them, and sun kills this virus. They'll wear a mask. I even saw one a couple weeks ago who was wearing a mask and actually passed out because they were not getting the oxygen that they needed, and they were actually breathing in their own CO2. But do they realize what was going on? Hell no, because the media will not tell them this. And it's the same thing in New York. It's the same thing in California. It's the same thing in Michigan. How many people died because of Cuomo's plandemic responses to failures, or plandemic response failures? When pressed for comment from Zucker and Eleanor Adams, an epidemiologist who reportedly tested Chris for Chinese germs, the New York State Department of Health said no statement would be given. Of course not. Why would they? They gave a statement and people are already catching on to what they're doing. All they're going to be doing is hurting themselves. I got a phone call here. Ooh, I got several phone calls here, I guess, both from the 336 area code. I'll get the first one.
Yes, how you doing?
Yes, I'm doing well. How are you?
All right. I'm listening to the your podcast show here, and, most people are scared. And the conservative title here, but it's the first time I've called into your podcast show, just by the title of its own, conservatives. You know, the conservative, I'm a Republican myself, and the Republican Party, from what I've gathered from the people that I know, a lot of people are going over to the Constitution Party, and they feel that the conservatives have lost their way and it's a broken party now, and that there's really no hope. I mean, the liberals and the Democrats have pretty much forsaken American politics. But if you want to get to the core problem of our government sickness is the fact that we've been hoodwinked since, you know, you go back to the 1790 Constitution, the Bill of Rights. We are so far from that today that there's actually two different governments in this jurisdiction in D.C. operating. So therefore, we come in conflict with each other because there's no constitutionality behind the political spectrum that D.C. is bringing to the people. So therefore, they are confused, and people know there's something wrong, but they can't put their finger on it.
Absolutely.
So what I'm talking about, you know, yeah. So you understand what I'm saying. And I'm not talking about no sovereign movement or none of that nonsense. I'm just talking about the law in what itself, in the 14th Amendment. When they ushered in the 14th Amendment, we became 14th Amendment slaves, basically, after the Reconstruction Acts. And then, we know the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, where they took control of our monetary system. And then, you know, like I said, the corporate government right now, they have no – they D.C. does not operate within the confines of the Constitution. That's why we cannot get any – the minority cannot receive the suffrage of rights anymore in this country. And until we recognize that and restore our republic lawfully, I say, because I'm against violence, because violence is the last resort. But there's never going to be any solution to this. We're just going to keep going down. And, of course, restore, you know, God. I believe God is a, you know, where – our country is founded on God, and we have to restore our God, whatever you believe in, you know, your creator. But I say God is a very important aspect of that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the things that's one of the things I was talking about. Is like my church here in Albuquerque, they've been fined twice by our governor for $5,000 each because they opened and she said they couldn't. Well, they're still open. They still haven't paid the fine, and they're not going to. I think that's what we need to start doing, and their services are now, they have a big sign out the opening of the beginning at their door that says join the peaceful protest, and I think that's just an awesome way to do it.
Well, you're absolutely correct. You know there's plans, there's lots of plans out there that do it, but the best one is I believe the Restore America plan from years ago that I actually looked into. And, you know, you have to terminate these illicit corporations posing as legitimate governments, you know, in particular the territorial jurisdiction of the United States federal corporation. You know, if you go to, and I'll reference that, 28 U.S.C. 3002, posing as a de jure United States of America. You know, you have to terminate all presumed powers of attorney to such corporations. And the foreclosure nightmare, you know, for borrowing against one's own credit, and tax prosecutions for resisting the transfer of private wealth to foreign banking cartels such as the IRS, you know, if we start with those fundamentals and start recognizing, and in that way, commercial crimes against the corporate state under a contrived corporate color of law venue, you know, if you go to 27 CFR 7211, you know, and you start looking into this stuff. You end the use of covert contracts such as the Form 1040. You know, and people say that's crazy. You know, or you know, get rid of the income tax or get rid of this tax. How are we going to pay our bills? We have right now we have a Federal Reserve that prints the money. Taxes don't. Do you really think the taxes that your county or city or state collects really pays the bills in your state? Of course it doesn't. There's no way possible. And we can never pay off the national deficit. If you taxed everybody 100% of their income right now for the rest of their lives, you still would not be able to pay off the $29 trillion that we are in debt right now. It'd be impossible.
Nope, and it probably wouldn't go down that much either.
No, because of the interest. You know, I mean, it's just so we're the debt. And the only way they can do it is by what? A reset, a global reset, a monetary system change where there's a force majeure clause in there, and there is if you look in the corporate bankruptcy laws. You go there, and then that's where you have your global reset, and you come up with a new currency. And that's where the dollar will eventually – the dollar is only strong and propped up because we have the strongest military in the world right now. And countries rely upon us, on our embassies across the world. And our bases from around the world, they disappear. Guess what? The dollar disappears, and so does the – and America's already lost its respect. That's quite clear around the world. I mean, I've talked to people in Siberia over the Internet a few weeks ago, and they're like, what the heck is wrong with you guys over in America? And these people know more about what's going on over here than I do. So what's going on?
Well, I've got me several other phone calls here I'm going to have to get to. So
all right, sure.
I appreciate your input on that because you were right on the money on that. And hello, this is 336. You there? I guess not. Okay. 203. Are you there? Okay, well, that one was just dropped too, so I guess go back to the original one. Okay, the two phone calls that I had didn't say anything, so I guess you're back on there.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. 203. Well, people get impatient. You know, nobody has a patience anymore. Everybody's phone's ringing. They, you know, these smartphones. I would like to go back to the payphone, you know, back in the day. We got a hold of each other better, and everybody knew each other better in their families. We get these cell phones,
oh, yeah.
And, you know, we can't connect anymore.
Yeah, that's for sure. If you wanted to talk to somebody, you'd go and put a dime. Oh, boy, I'm really showing my age there. You put money into a payphone and stand in a booth and talk to somebody.
Then you're absolutely correct. But, you know, quietly mirror the strategies of 1933. You know, we have to understand that, we have to return the military and law enforcement institutions to proper and lawful de jure sovereign authority. We have to return from the clutches of these corporate actors. You know, we all talk about Amazon has a monopoly on everything, right? But where do we go and shop? We're all guilty of it. You know, where do we go? Walmart, Amazon, Home Depot, Lowe's. I mean, granted, today there probably is very little choice, but, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I still had hardware shops in my town here in North Carolina. I'm from Greensboro, North Carolina, but they're gone now. But, you know, we could have, you know, spent a couple extra dollars and supported the small business, but we didn't. You know, so we have no one to blame but ourselves.
That's very true. I remember growing up in a small town in Colorado that – The small stores that you could go to just walking down the street were the bread and butter of the town, and now they're probably gone. I haven't been back to Gunnison, Colorado in ages, but I got me another phone call again, so I will.
All right.
Okay. Hello. This is 407. You're on the air.
Yeah. How are we doing?
We're doing well. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. How do you think Biden's been doing so far?
Truthfully, I really don't. I live down here in New Mexico, and one of the things, the border crisis, and it is a crisis. We see it down here constantly, and he's not doing anything about it. He doesn't care to do anything about it. And then he put Kamala Harris in charge of that. Well, she isn't going to be able to do anything about it because she doesn't care.
So you think it's going to get worse?
Oh, yeah, it's going to get worse. It's definitely going to get worse because, you know, under Trump had the Mexican government was actually working with us to keep the illegals out. And they would, if they came through Mexico, they'd have to stay in Mexico while they were being processed here in the United States. But Biden has got it, so now they're coming in, and they're in the in Houston, in the Superdome or whatever the hell is over there. They're bringing them in there, and they've got COVID. A lot of them have got COVID, and they're not being tested, but they're also being released into the United States. They're putting them.
A lot of Americans got COVID. I mean, the percentage probably isn't that much different.
Well, here in New Mexico, we've got ourselves down to the point where New Mexico actually is mostly green right now, and the governor should be opening us up, but it's not. You know, she wants to keep us locked down. She's added another color so that she can keep us locked down. But COVID is going away here in New Mexico. In South Dakota, it's pretty much – that's not a problem there, and they've never locked down there. Florida, it's not a problem there.
Hey, I live in Florida, so, you know, I understand. It's not a problem here. You guys need Gary Johnson again, man. Where's Gary Johnson when you need him? Although, I've partied with him some before. He's a character, but he used to be your governor. I don't remember that. But, you got to realize it. But a lot of these people coming over, they're going to be good Americans. You know what I mean? I see it here in the state of Florida. You know what I mean? You can't stop it. I mean, you know, I had a friend who was like a Trump again. He's like, oh, man, it's like, oh, the whole thing's going to be same with Trump. I said, are you crazy? I told him, Trump's not going to change that much. I told straight up, I said, hey, here's what I told him. I said, straight up, Trump is a little road bump in the road. I said, at the best. And I also said, picture an 80-ounce beer stein, and the top 8 ounces are the foam. You can stir that foam up. That's about all he's going to do. The deep state's just going to get deeper, and that's what it did. And I says, like, Trump's not the answer. I mean, we were better off without Trump because we had the Tea Party coming on. And we should stay that way. You know?
The Tea Party
was, at least the people were there. Trump was, I mean, 2 years there, that he couldn't get the two biggest things he was trying to do. One was overturn Obamacare. He couldn't do that. The Republicans stabbed him in the back the whole way. He got stabbed by every, from Sessions to whatever Republican you want to name. They all stabbed him in the back, right up to you. And you too, Brutus? Remember, it's like even Pence stabbed him in the back. And you too? I mean, the Republicans are such backstabbers. So where are we going to go with this? I mean, you know, it's just what it is.
The thing about Trump is that he actually did do a lot for the United States. I'm living down here in New Mexico, and things down here have gotten something.
Yeah, but what are they now? He didn't get the wall built, and
he got a lot of the wall built. And,
he got one eighth of what he projected. One eighth.
Well, I mean, here's what's going on though. He may have only gotten maybe one eighth of what he said he was.
Look who's in power now. I mean, he's gone. He was a bump in the road. Get over it.
I'm not going to get over it because Trump didn't lose that election.
You think our election system's ever been just? Come on, man. It's
been a hell of a lot more just than it was this last time.
We've had bad law. We have had bad law in the United States from the beginning. Better law than any other country? Yes, because we have some good laws. We have the Bill of Rights. But we have a lot of bad laws that have always been there. Look at the 16th, 17th, 18th Amendment, terrible laws, including the 14th Amendment. And if you go into those amendments and just see how terrible they were, plus the Federal Reserve Act and stuff, you know, you get one little president you think sort of change things, he's a lump in the road, and he ain't coming back. So, you know what I mean? It's just, you got to accept reality for what it is. I'd rather see the Tea Party come back myself. I'd rather see
I have another phone call coming, so I'm going to have to let you go.
Yeah.
But one of the things we do have to realize here, folks, is that Trump did one hell of a lot for this nation. He got the border wall built, and he actually got it funded. Now I don't blame Trump because of what happened, because like the caller just said, everybody was against him. Everybody fought every move that he made all the way through, and he still got things done. He got 400 and some odd miles of the wall done, and then Biden fraudulently gets into the White House and stops it. Well, there's a problem with what he did when he stopped it, because when Trump took office, one of the first things he did was to do an executive order that was going to stop something that Congress had already funded. And the Democrats told him, you cannot do this. And this is where the whole thing is going wrong for us right now, is because Biden did exactly the same thing. He cannot do that. Congress had already funded the wall. It was illegal for Biden to do what he did, because they wouldn't allow Trump to do it. So why are they allowing him to do this? And Trump did a lot for America, more so than almost any other president in our history or my history. And he was not a king. The problem comes in here is that Biden thinks he's a king. Biden thinks he can do what he damn well pleases because he's now the president. Well, I'm sorry. Cheating your way into the White House does not make you a president. If he really wanted to be a president, he would actually do something for the United States. Instead, he's trying to tear everything down. And a lot of the things that he's tearing down are things that Trump did. We had the Keystone Pipeline. That was funded. Biden shut it down. We had the fracking and the oil stuff here in New Mexico. New Mexico's schools were funded by that. Biden shut that down. But now they want to open the schools up again. We don't have the funding for it anymore because Biden shut it down. And I do think that Trump will be back. I really do. I think he will be back. He did too much good for this country not to be part of its future. And we are coming up on the top of the hour right now. And we're going to have to stop for a few minutes to, I just got Joseph Gibson in the chat room just gave me a link, and I'm going to go into it and see what that is. But we will be right back after these messages and to start our second hour.
Looking for fake news? You won't find it here. Conservative Nation Media, America's best truth detector.
Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefields, but where the enemy was nothing more than ghosts in the jungle, and they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol. Six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death and destruction along with vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the enemy with cutthroat precision and accuracy. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, running his own business, the Matt Joseph Investigations Company. His best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson Police Department. The job that gets Matt on this case also brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present day, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Roof Butte not only holds mystery, but also a dark cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the evening sky. Matt has been hired to find out what is going on without getting caught up in its death and destruction in the process. Night Owls is first in a new series of mysteries featuring Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://amazon.com/dp/1500284491. That's https://www.amazon.com/dp/1500284491. It is also available in both digital and book form. That's Night Owls, Matt Joseph Mystery by Robert P. Garding. Order it today.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Please don't do anything you will never live to regret.
Angry blowback for the downing of Ukrainian passenger jet gathering momentum in Tehran.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Thank you.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henner's A Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert who aren't afraid of the wrath of the left, even when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda. Now, with Biden in charge, this is more imperative than ever. From New Mexico and CNN's Freedom Studio comes the second hour of the show. And now, here again is Robert.
Okay, we are back for the second hour of the show. One of the things that we have to look at here, and I just found me this article from Breitbart News, and it talks about a 9-year-old migrant girl who drowns while crossing the border into Texas. This is where the bad part of this whole thing is. And Biden doesn't want to do anything about it. All he wants to do is put Kamala Harris in charge. She's going to laugh at something like this. And folks, it's no laughing matter. It really is not. It says here a 9-year-old migrant girl from Guatemala drowned while attempting to cross the Rio Grande. And the Rio Grande is not a friendly, one of these friendly rivers that you can go and swim in and survive it too awful much, especially a 9-year-old girl. The agents revived. She attempted to cross the Rio Grande with her mother and a 3-year-old sibling. The agents revived the mother and the smaller child. In the Del Rio sector marine unit, agents came upon a small island in the middle of the Rio Grande where near Eagle Pass, Texas on March 20th. The agents found 3 people unconscious on the island where they had become stranded while attempting to cross from Mexico into Texas. And all of this, folks, I have to say this is all Biden's fault. It was not happening when Trump was there because the people knew that they would not be allowed in. Biden, on the other hand, has said, come on in. This is a great place to be. Come on in. We'll take you in and we'll coddle you and make sure that you're where you need to be. We'll pay for all of your stuff. The American people are getting sick and tired of paying for all of their stuff. Why not pay for some of our stuff now? Why not open up the Keystone Pipeline? It was when Biden signed that executive order, he put thousands of people out of work. Did he care? No, he didn't. He really did not. But, you know, that's where we have got to look at this. So over 2,240 illegal aliens have been encountered in Del Rio sector over the last 3 days alone, folks. How insane is this? These arrests contribute to nearly a 300% increase in apprehensions over the last year. This increase is far higher than the normal seasonal fluctuations that we normally see. And this was told by the chief patrol agent, Austin Scarrow. And the agents are having to put up with this and having to put these people into places like there's a picture of one that shows day 2 from the border shows a picture of a pod that's designed to hold 80 people. It's now holding 709. Tell me what the Democrats would have done if Trump would have done this. They would have gone apeshit crazy. Trump would have been impeached a third time over something like this. But Biden, oh, let's just put Kamala Harris in charge down there. That'll take care of everything. Everything will be fine. And I'll go back down to my basement here. Folks, we have to realize we have a problem. Living on the in New Mexico on the border here. I know this. People in Arizona know this. People in Southern California know this. I have a friend who lives down there who runs the constitutional class that he gives down there. He was in Marietta, which was the port that they were all coming into when Obama was president. And he's the one who broke that story. The problem lies right now in the media. The media will not tell the true story of what is going on. That is why you'll never hear me quote something from CNN or MSNBC or NBC or CBS or ABC. And I won't quote Fox too much anymore either. I go to other sources, but that's not saying I don't look, because I do. Because I want to find out what the truth is, where the truth is, where the lies are. And right at the moment, I'm seeing all the lies coming from the Biden administration, from the Grisham administration here in New Mexico, the Cuomo administration in New York, the Newsom administration in California. Every one of these are lying to the people. And here in New Mexico, they've gotten away with it, because there's only one big newspaper here in New Mexico. It's the Albuquerque Journal, and it has got the people believing that COVID is the worst thing that has ever happened to anybody, anywhere, and we have to wear at least one mask to stay safe, even when you're out in the sunshine alone with nobody even within miles of you. People are even wearing masks in their own homes here. They'll drive down the street in a car all alone with the windows rolled up with a mask on. And I've watched one the other day drive off the road because they had lost the ability to stay awake because they didn't have the oxygen in their blood to keep them conscious. People don't talk about things like this. This is something that has to be talked about, because the media won't. And then on top of that, we have to start opening up this country again. We have to open up the churches, especially the churches. Because without the churches, this country is going to hell in a handbasket. And there isn't much that anyone can say about it. It's like I told my first caller that I talked to. My church has what they call the peaceful protest. That is their sanctuary services every Sunday. They have them on Saturday night, and they also have them on Tuesday nights. I've been going to all three. And then on top of that, I've been going to tomorrow. I'll be going to church because I am now starting to work with the video parts of the church so that we can get the word out, because Legacy puts all of this on the internet, which is a good thing. And with the churches, they have to open up. It doesn't matter what the faux President Biden has to say about it. It doesn't matter, because all he wants is to have the churches closed down so he can keep his thumb down on the necks of everybody and keep control of the whole nation. And this whole thing has to stop. And I've still got my first caller there. I'm going to see if are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, man. I'm still here, brother. How you doing? Yeah, I like what you're saying about the churches, and you're absolutely correct, because God is the most important thing. You know, this country, if you don't believe in God or you don't have any spirituality, you know, that God, you know, America's a great place. You have the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Any way you decide to choose it, as long as you don't offend or hurt anyone else. And that's the beautiful thing about this country. However, the moral principles and the separation of church and state, a lot of people get that so confused and they don't understand. It's not for to keep the church out of the government. It's to keep
the government out of the church. That's what the founders meant by the separation of church and state, for anyone who doesn't know true history. Because I know they don't teach civics anymore in high school, okay? But those that still remember civics class.
Well, on top of that, separation of church and government is not in the Constitution.
And well, your other caller there that said, you know, come on, you know, Trump didn't do much. If you look at Trump's records, the facts are there. I mean, you could find the facts of what he did do. And he felt and he sought opposition from every single angle he possibly could. Public opinion, the media, whatnot, and even people that supported him still antagonized him and attacked him and slandered him and rubbed shoulders with him that they shouldn't have rubbed shoulders with him, knowing that he was going to get backlash from it. But Trump was there to restore the Republic. He was the last Trump, as I like to say in the Bible. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of pastors say that. He was the last Trump. He was the last president to restore our country, restore America. And we lost a very good opportunity. Now, as far as the election fraud goes, let me tell you something. Anybody who wants to know the election was a fraud, I can give you affidavits. I downloaded them all and received them from my contacts in the CIA and other contacts through the Republic and other avenues of government where there was fraud. I guarantee you there was fraud. The computers were rigged. And it's very simple. Let's use it as an elementary example here. How many voters actually reside in the state of Georgia? Now, go back to the last election there in Georgia. Let's just do the Senate election. There are not even that many registered voters that they say voted, for goodness sake. So,
mm-hmm.
Obviously, there was fraud. You've been hoodwinked. And the corporate de facto did that to you. And the fact of the matter is that we need to restore our republic, restore our original constitution, kick the de facto out of there, and really start to learn what happened to America and what happened to our country. The Civil War was not fought over slavery, folks. It was fought over – if you go back and read the 39th Congressional record, look at that. That was the Congress, 39th Congress, that mm-hmm. Abandoned their seats, and then we went to Civil War. You read what they were arguing and debating about. Had nothing to do with slavery, folks. Nothing at all.
Nope.
So, you know, so a lot of people don't understand that, and they don't understand how important sovereign rights are to state, the sovereign states' rights are, the states' rights are, individual states, and understand the importance of our electoral college and the delegate system so that the minority can always have rights. So that means the lesser of the two evils, I guess you could say, will always have the
mm-hmm.
say. You know, like a jury system. If one person says not guilty, you go free. You have to convince that entire jury. You know, that's a republic
yep.
form of that we have right now on planet Earth. And if we lose it, let me tell you something. Like Ronald Reagan said, we're going to plunge into 1,000 years of darkness, and we are in big trouble.
Well, you know, that's the other thing that Ronald Reagan said. We are never more than one generation away from losing our freedoms. And right at the moment, we're actually in the middle of that generation. We're losing our
yeah.
freedoms faster than any of us could have ever thought. And my dad's probably rolling over in his grave thinking about what the heck's going on in this country right now.
Yeah, yeah. And your caller said the Tea Party Nation. The Tea Party sold out, if you ask me.
Yeah.
The Glenn Becks of the world, they all sold out. Listen, the Glenn Becks and everybody was telling everybody, rise up, protest this election. And when we did, they called us terrorists. Okay?
Yep.
You know, so I don't want to hear, you know, the Tea Party Nation. Everyone likes that feel-good movement that they were a part of or maybe thought they might have supported. Tea Party Nation had it wrong, too. Okay? I mean, granted, they were a grassroots organization, and it felt good to be a part of them, but they died out because they had no backbone, no foundation, no real spirituality
mm-hmm.
to last. You know, and so we really need to just start individual counties, towns, assemblies, assemblies and committees in your towns and start at the local level with your sheriff or whatnot or your mayors and start there and then branch out. And then we could probably have an awakening in this country and start your local church, brother. You, the podcast host here, you know, you said your churches and everything. This is the churches that has to branch out and reach out and become involved. And because we can have an awakening in this country, a spiritual awakening, and God will heal this land. He can heal this land. God can do anything if we would
yep.
just turn to Him instead
of
rejecting.
He absolutely
him.
Can. You know, and one of the things that are the church that I go to, it starts out every service with what the service calls the rant, and it's my pastor doing a rant on what the governor and the liberals in this state are doing to this state. And, you know, it's good that he's doing that because, yeah, I've been doing it too, but he gets out more because we film all of our stuff and I'm part of the film crew for that. And it's really awesome that they just put that on the internet so everybody can see it. But he has gotten in trouble with the governor several times. And, you know, and I had a thing with one of the Democrats here in Bernalillo County who proceeded to tell me that he's a lawyer. He knows what he's talking about, that he is nobody's employee. And he said that when I told him he is nothing more than an employee of the people.
That's right.
And he got mad at me and said, I am nobody's employee. I am a lawyer and I know what I'm talking about. And if you don't think that this is true, read the Constitution of New Mexico. Well, the Constitution of New Mexico says the same damn thing that the Constitution of the United States does. He is an employee of the people.
actually, he does swear an oath to the Bar Association. The Bar Association is a long arm of the British Crown, if you look it up. So mm-hmm. If he's trying to go there, but because he practices law, he's not in law. That's why they practice law. You know, so there's a big difference. But the thing of it is that they take an oath, and their oath is not to the Constitution. And if you read their oaths and all these doctors' oaths and stuff, these Hippocratic oaths that they have, I mean, that name is right, says it right there. But the thing of it is we have to get back to the core principle of our Constitution and Bill of Rights, the original Constitution. We are a constitutional republic. When you mm-hmm. hear somebody on TV or if you are talking to somebody and they say our democracy, that person is clueless. You need to pull them to the side and educate them.
That's one of the things that just drives me nuts is all these people who call us a democracy. Well, the democracy really is nothing more than mob rule.
Yeah, two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. You know, that's what you want.
That's not what I want.
No good.
And, you know, that's one of the things that I've said. I've had this show for, since 2007 now. And almost since the time I began, I've always pushed the fact that this is a constitutional republic. It's not a democracy.
Yeah. And the thing is, we've lost it. And the de jure system is now de facto. And we lost it. And they crowned it a success in 1933. And then House Resolution 192, if you read that, all debts are null and void. You really, you know, but you're the slave. And, you know, we get into all that. It sounds far-fetched and nuts because it goes beyond of everything that you've been taught since birth or since if it's the first mm-hmm. time hearing it. And you have to understand that evil does exist out there. War is hell, and I would never want this country to plunge into war. But we are heading for a civil war. And look, it only took 3% of – that's why they call them the 3%ers, you know, from the Revolutionary War to stand up to the crown. And that was a military so far advanced, more equipped, the number of men and those little founding fathers that we call George Washington and Jefferson and whatnot, they had divine intervention. They had God behind them. And without God, mm-hmm. we can't get there. We can't do it. So we have to turn to God first, repent and pray, and then start putting politicians in there and leaders that can restore our original. When you hear people say restore, 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 that's what we have to do because we can all agree our country, whether even if you're a Democrat, you have to acknowledge the country's broken. We're broken. Mm-hmm. So, we can all agree on that. So if we can get to that first point, then we can start going – maybe a little bit further down the road and start amending some of our beliefs and our personal beliefs and come up with one common goal and objective. And guess what? If we achieve that one large common goal and objective, which we all want happiness and life and liberty, well, surely we must. If you don't, I just don't understand what planet you're on then, let alone country. But if we all want life and liberty, then the rest of those little problems that we all, our little individual pride, whatnot, we got will fall into place. I'm telling mm-hmm. you, it will work. I've seen it.
Yeah, and I have too. You know, it's just, but there's too many people who think that we have to kowtow to all these people who, are coming out of college.
They're individual causes.
And they don't know what the heck they're talking about because they have not been taught. It's just like Charlie Kirk said, education in this country ceased to be quite a while ago. It's supposed to be something that where you teach the children. the right way to go and how to do things, and they're not being taught.
That's correct. That's correct. And, you know, I'm open to other ideas also. And, like, for instance, now this isn't socialism. This is national socialism. We all know the taboo on that. But I've been listening to a lot of people lately on that subject. Not that I'm becoming a national socialist, but the national socialist movement, and they're having they're for protecting the borders. Now, there's a large issue there, so I'm trying to embrace that, and they're going to be having a rally April 16th in Phoenix, Arizona, actually. Now, a lot of people subject themselves to having to cross, to open their eyes and their ears and their hearts and start listening to everybody else, but then come together once we're there and have that one common goal, like I said, and that, because we can't all just be attacking this problem, spreading ourselves all over the place and not keeping our eye on the prize and not keeping our ears and our heart to our one prize, which is God. And because if we give ourselves to God, God will guide us to that one solution there that we're all searching for, because I believe there can be an awakening. There can be. I mean, we're just too great of a country with so many assets and so many good people that we just cannot watch it just burn and lose it like this. We just can't. I just don't see how we can. But, you know, the devil, his greatest trick was to, you know, make man believe that he didn't exist. So, you know, it could happen, I guess. I don't know. You know, I think America's got a lot to still fight for.
Yeah, I totally agree. We have a lot to fight for. This nation actually needs to be put back the way that it was, you know, and I'm not saying go back to slavery, and I'm not saying go back to Jim Crow era. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we need to get ourselves back on track, turn ourselves back to God, turn ourselves back to going to church, turn ourselves back to being Americans who are free to do what we want. And, you know, a lot of the people think, you know, well, we can do what we want. It's our right to do what I want, what we want. And there's no consequences. Well, there's the problem, because with every action, there's a consequence. You have the right to do it, but you also have the right to accept those consequences too when they come. And this last summer, with all this stuff with Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all these riots that were all over the place, they were doing things that were totally against the law, and they thought they had the right to do that, but they don't.
They don't, no. They don't. And, you know, I want to say this real quick, and anybody that's listening, you know, just imagine a country or a time period where you have, you have a family every single night that sat down for dinner together, you know. And who would not enjoy a family, having a family unit that has moral values? Because you can't legislate morality. You know, but if that had these moral values and you did things as a family again back in the – because today there's not really that many families out there that do that or all go to church on a Sunday, like you said, or have a Sunday dinner or, you know, these holidays that they preach about, you know, Christmas time, Thanksgiving, the spirit. I don't ever see anything. People are still – it's just another day now in America. You know, it's you know, that feeling of unity – I think 9/11 was the last time I saw unity in this country, when the towers were blown up or whatever happened, the planes flew into them and Osama blew them up or whatever narrative they want to throw out there. But there was unity. There was unity amongst the country.
Yeah,
everybody was flying a flag. Everybody stood up against it.
And I still remember what I was doing when that happened. You know, and that's something like when Biden cheated his way into the White House, I don't remember what I was doing. But you go back to 9/11 of 2001, I remember what I was doing. I was working at a print shop in Anderson, Indiana. And 3 months after that, I lost that job because printing all over this nation just completely went under. It just stopped.
Yeah.
And I lost that job. And because of that, I have actually never held another printing job since. I've had to go into business for myself and be a freelance graphic artist and do my printing on my computers and things like that and make business cards for people. That I can do. But since that day, I have not worked in printing as a job.
Wow.
And
it
just totally changed my life. And, you know, I remember I was working on one job, which was a book, and when the radio talked about what was going on in New York. And you know, a couple of months later, everything had come to a dead standstill. And everybody who hadn't been with the company very long, which I hadn't been, we ran out of work to do. We were the ones who were let go. And
A lot of the economy took a hard hit there. There was, you know, figure it out, the World Trade Center. You know, whatever you want to throw at you, whatever, what they were doing there, you know, what, you know, all the conspiracy theories, whatnot, but the jobs that, that those buildings created for the world and for our country that were lost forever, you know, it's just insane. And I remember the credit card machines being shut down that day. I remember I was at Walmart in Wallingford, Connecticut, and the credit cards were shut down. I remember the whole entire store was around these big TVs. They didn't have flat screens then. They had the big box TVs hanging up. And, everybody in the store was watching the towers. And I remember seeing it, on fire, and then they collapsed, you know, and everybody's like, oh, I remember everybody, you know. So it was quite a, so remembering where you were at that time. And, you know, it was a horrific moment. But the point what I was trying to make is that everybody came together, no matter your background, where you were, what you believed in. We all unified there for a short time, and around the president and around the government. You know, everybody united, and you just don't see that anymore. It's just terrible.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that's really, really horrible about what's going on now is we've got all these people coming into this country illegally, but we've got the Democrats saying, well, they have a right to be here. No, they don't.
No,
I'm sorry, but they don't. If they came in the right way and went through the immigration process, yeah, they would have every right to be here. But coming in illegally, they don't have a right to be here. And I don't, and I'm getting really sick and tired of my tax money going to pay for their schooling and going to pay for their health care and all of their stuff, you know, and they're getting benefits that American people don't get until after they've worked for 10 years and built up a bit of money in their taxes and stuff.
Well, they get the free handouts. They get the free handouts. You get a free check. And if you're an illegal immigrant and you're in this country, you get a checking account free with no maintenance fees, no nothing. Even if you don't have a Social Security number, you get that checking account. You are offered, if you're trying to go into a small business or open your own small business, you are given first opportunity at the no interest loans. And they're forgiven if you don't pay them back. So imagine that. Isn't that nice? You know, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
So here you are working. Say you're a 45-year-old woman or man. And you went to college, and you have a degree, and you're still in debt from college, and you're still struggling out there, and you hear something like this. If you're not angry and upset, then I just don't know.
Something's wrong.
Yeah, something's wrong. I'm just starting to think that maybe everybody's on Kool-Aid or something's going on, or maybe they are bug spraying us. I don't know.
I really wouldn't doubt it anymore. It's this whole idea that we've got to kowtow to everything. If, you know, these people who come in, they've got it bad. Yeah, they've got it bad, but why do they have it bad? It's because they're trying to get into a country illegally. And you know, the way I've always looked at it is you break into a country and the first thing you do when you break into this country is illegal, that makes you a criminal.
Yeah. No,
you're
absolutely correct.
It that way.
No, they don't. They don't. They don't at all. You're absolutely correct. And it's not about, you know, where they come from and who they are, you know, because I'll tell you right now, the people from Mexico and whatnot and Honduras, they're hardworking people, you know.
Yes, they are.
But if you're breaking the law, if you're not a country of laws, look, laws are created by man and human government to restrain sin. Okay, and you're committing sin, you're transgressing against that society and that people. You're breaking the law, and you have to be held accountable. And if there's no accountability, we have chaos. And if you want chaos, you want the strongest to survive. We were just talking about this earlier, war. And war is hell, man. Children die, women die, women are raped, innocent people are slaughtered, innocent people die. You don't want it. You don't want it. The war is hell.
Yep. And I totally agree. I was of the Vietnam era, so I know what you're talking about there.
Yeah.
But it's not something that you really want, but sometimes it's what you have to do. And you know, the way I'm looking at what's going on now, it's coming. You know, and the people don't wake up to what's coming. It's going to happen. You know, they have to wake up and say, no, wait a minute. This has got to stop.
Yeah. But the thing is they're not, I mean, there is, I believe they did. You get that shift in your head there, that way of thinking that it's not, the change isn't there, because you summed on it very perfectly. The election was a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a fraud from the beginning anyway, because the foundations which it stands on, and it opens up that door to corruption. But the election was a fraud. There's no way in heck. Listen, it's common sense. When two guys show up to a rally, one guy shows up and there's 50,000 people there, and the other guy shows up to his rallies and just tells me something's going on here. I talked about that a lot.
You know, there was actually one Biden rally where he had like 8 people there, and the most amount of people that were there were people who were Trump people who were flying their flags out on the street.
Yeah. You know, so how does this happen? I mean, they're taking advantage of this poor guy. I mean, the guy's senile. He's got dementia. He's got problems, obviously, or he's drugged up, one or the other. I mean, they're totally bam. He's totally, he doesn't know where he's at. You know, so I don't know why they're, I mean, obviously they're going to pull the plug on him. I just hope and pray it's not an assassination, because that would definitely spark chaos in the streets of America, possibly.
Absolutely.
So I hope and pray it's not. So we need to pray for Biden. You know, as much as we don't like him or don't want him, we need to pray for his safety and make sure that does not happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, every night when me and my wife go to bed, we say our prayers. And one of the things is to keep Biden safe. You know, it's a totally different thing from the Democrats. You know, they were always talking about one of the things that I have in my intro. And I've got a thing on here that I play every once in a while. It's the Democrats' hatred. And a lot of them were talking about, when was the last time a president was assassinated? This kind of thing, you know, and to me, you know, having Madonna say, I dream every night of blowing up the White House. Well, that's a crime.
That is a crime, but yet the people that smashed a few windows out in D.C. on January 6th, the FBI is hunting them down like rabid, well, you know, drug dealers or drug smugglers or some kind of crime that, you know, convicted murderers. I mean, this is insane. It's insane, you know, it's terrible.
Yeah, and I watch the Democrats. They get away with all of this stuff, but if it goes the other way, even just a tiny little bit, the Democrats are all up in arms and says, "This has got to stop. This is illegal. We can't do this. We got to prosecute
it's
these
also,
people."
Yeah, and it also has to do with the culture and the race. Also, the white middle-aged man is demonized today. That's definitely the case. I mean, if they're all labeled racist, and you're a hater, and you're a Second Amendment lover. That's you know, which I don't see anything wrong with that. But they, you know, you love your guns and God, and therefore you should be deemed a terrorist. And that's coming down. That's coming down the pike. I mean, that's in one of the links I sent you, actually. The documents there where the CIA and everything maps out the plans to demonize the white male in this country. And they're doing it. They're doing it.
Yeah, that's that one that you sent that has all that stuff in there. I'm going to have to look at that. I've got that opened up on my computer. So when the show is over, I'm going to start looking at that, because it's, you know, that's something that, And it's horrible. It really is, you know, and people think, you know, well, we've got to be nice to people. We've got, you know, but they're always talking about how we can't fight. We can't go against all these people. Well, what did Jesus do when he was, you know, in the with the money changers in the temple? What did he do?
He whipped them out. He whipped, the only time he used force. Yep. The only time he used force in his ministry, he used force. He whipped them. Whipped them out. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So he did things there that were so. I mean, he did things that everybody fled. Basically, I mean, they saw God there. You know, and a lot of people don't understand Jesus as being God either. They don't understand the Trinity of God. They don't understand that how God can manifest himself in the flesh and walk on earth to experience how man could not fulfill God's hopes or love for us. Man could never fulfill or live by the commandments, to God's Ten Commandments,
yep,
or the law. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to fulfill the law. And this way here, now we're under the age of grace, and all you have to do is accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And, of course, you know, preach the gospel and love your neighbor and all that other good stuff and win souls. And because, you know, in the end, it's because obviously you're a man of faith and you go to church and so you understand all this. But in the end, that's what it's all going to, you know, you have, well, I think one guy said this to me, you got two dates on your tombstone, the day you're born and the day you die. You know,
mm-hmm,
all that stuff in between happens pretty to that last date there. That's all of eternity. You
yes,
know, so,
it, yes.
You
know, and that's one of the things that I've ever since I started going to this church that I'm going to now, I do a daily update, kind of like Rush did, and it's a video thing that I do every day. It's Monday through Thursday, and then on Friday I do my show, and then I'm starting to do them on Saturday too. But what I'm doing now is I'm starting to add a Bible verse into it that goes with what I talk about, and it takes a little bit more work because I have to actually look up the Bible verse to find out which one it is. But
yeah,
it's actually really satisfying to do that.
Well, it sure is. It says self, that's your conscience, you know, obviously, because you're a saved man and you understand God and you have a personal relationship with God. So, and a lot of people don't have that personal relationship, so they can't get it. They don't have that knowledge or understanding. And even I we all backslide and we're all sinners. None of us are perfect. And just because I'm preaching about God doesn't mean I'm perfect or better than anyone else. We all fall short of the glory of God. And
oh, yeah,
people say,
absolutely.
What kind of cruel God would do this and do this? Well, look, you know, God is God. You know, he's our creator. If you create something and you build something, you're in charge of it, right? It's just a way of looking at it. And the simple fact is this, when you talk about God, if Jesus Christ was a lie, then he was the greatest, that more good came from that lie than any other time in the history of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at any other lie that's been told throughout the world's history, no matter even in your own personal life, no good has ever come from it in the end. And so how can so much good come from, you know, people have changed their lives because of Jesus Christ. They've walked a different life. You reunited marriages. Children's lives
mm-hmm.
have been changed. You have personal testimony where people have been healed and miracles have happened. So, you know, you can't deny that. You can't deny it. And you have a historical application to the Bible, you have a spiritual application, and you have a doctrinal application. If you apply all three of those applications to when you study the Bible and understand God's Word, you'll get it a heck of a lot better than just opening it up and saying, oh, let me start here, you know. I appreciate you having me on your podcast, though, and let me have a conversation with you.
You're welcome.
I know I'll definitely check you out more. When are you on? What's your scheduled days, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, on Mondays through Thursdays, I do my update, and they end up. I used to put them on YouTube, and then on Rumble and on BitChute, and they're on Rumble and BitChute now, and then I share them to Facebook, and I don't do it there because I know there's going to be a bunch of people who are going to like it but Facebook is Facebook. But to me, it's the idea that if I throw it on there, maybe I'll get through to somebody. But my last Saturday was the first time I did one on Saturday, and it was like 26 minutes long, and I put it onto YouTube, and then I took it from YouTube and put it onto Rumble and then onto BitChute. And after I got through with that, YouTube deleted it.
Oh, boy.
And so now I cannot even put anything on YouTube right now because apparently they say that was my third strike. Well, I have no idea where number two came from. I knew where number one was, but I never heard of a number two. Well, apparently it happened and they never told me. So I'm in the process now of thinking of getting rid of that account altogether.
Censorship. That's not what America is about at all. And people say they're a private company. No.
They are a public trading company. They trade publicly. They have a stock, an interest, and a monetary interest in our economy also, not let alone the First Amendment and our freedom of expression. They control. They have a monopolized control. So therefore, you know, they, you know, it doesn't matter anyway. You violate someone's First Amendment right or their constitutional right. That's contempt of Constitution. That's a crime, and it should be pursued.
And that's essentially what I told them. But my updates during the week, I call them NWCR's Removing the Liberal Blindfold. And
wow.
I do those Monday through Friday, and I'll usually find an article that I can talk about, and then I'll talk about it. And then in the middle of it, I'll put, and now to remove the liberal blindfold, and I'll put in the conservative values of this and God's values. And I add those in there. And it's something that I've done probably for the last 4 years now. And
wow. Well, I'm also a podcaster. And I'm also running for I'm going to be running for office down here in North Carolina in my district for the North Carolina House of Representatives. So under the Constitution Party. Yeah. So I've actually just filed my notice of candidacy last week. So but it doesn't officially get filed until July 1st or the first week of July. So, yeah, I'll be here in my district here in North Carolina. I'm from Greensboro,
cool.
North Carolina. So, and I'm a podcaster. So that's why I was scrolling around the shows here and looking up shows, and yours got pinpointed there, and I figured I'd check you out. So,
what we've got now is I belong to a network that's called Conservative Nation Media, and I got into Conservative Nation Media back in 2013, I think they started in 2011, and in 2016, the guys who started it just gave up on it, just quit and stopped doing everything, didn't bother to tell me about it, and I was going along just happily doing my shows, and then all of a sudden, I was the only one out there, and I got a hold of one of the guys, and I said, why can't we just start this up again? He said, well, if you want it, you can have it. Well, now I'm building it back up again, and I'm looking for people to do shows. Right now, I do my show on Friday. And then we have a guy from North Carolina, Durham, North Carolina. He does a show called Black by Color Only. And his name is his name just went completely out of my mind here.
Oh, that's okay. I'll look it up.
Yeah. And
that's
his
great.
Show is
He's
on
not
Saturdays.
Far from Durham. Yeah.
Yeah. And then his show is on Saturdays, probably about 3 o'clock Eastern time. I think somewhere around there. And then on Sundays, we have one called American by Design with Bing Fisher. And he's part of the original Conservative Nation Media thing. And I got him back. So he's doing his show on Sunday. And we have somebody else who wants to do one on Wednesday, but just hasn't happened yet. But we're still looking. So if you ever
my show is called Understanding the Times in Which We Live Today. That's the title of the show. If you do a blog talk search, you'll see me there. And I've been doing it since I think 2012 maybe 2011.
Oh, wow.
I don't know, I forget the years. And and I've been on there, and I was on Podbean for a little while, and I linked them together in YouTube also, and then hooked up with a lot of different – I've had so many different people on my podcast and linked up with so many different groups and tried to bring people together, you know, to experience the First Amendment and how gifted we are here in America and what the opportunity that we have to voice our opinions and express ourselves. You know,
and what was
very important.
Your show again?
Understanding the Times in Which We Live Today. I'll post the link in your chat room there. And, that's Understanding the Times in Which We Live Today, Blog Talk. And I was on, like I said, Podbean for a while there, and I decided to let that go. Too much work. The studio was too convoluted and complicated, and all the links and whatnot, because I'm a small business owner here in North Carolina, and I also do publishing. And I also am now running for office here and in North Carolina, because after this last election this is our last hope. I mean, this is really, if these midterms are really going to tell the tape of where we're going to stand here in America, and if we go a full 4 years like this, what we're seeing right now with the policies and whatnot, we will end up, like you said, into a or what you fear, a civil war or some sort of civil conflict where the country will break off into succession and the military will be weakened from within. They're already overspread out. They're already vetting the military. I've had military on my podcast already. And we're trying to come up with solutions. I'm trying to revisit the idea of restore the republic, the Restore America plan, and restore our republic lawfully, because we still have the Restore the Republic and Restore America plan still has international standing from the United Nations, actually, and the Hague. So this started in 2008 and 2009, and they really took off, and they had the military on board. There was going to be a very big change here in this country, and people just don't understand it because they were working behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And they formed the – I don't know if you heard about that at the time, but they appointed the grand juries, de jure grand juries, served the governors, all 50 governors with letters, and told them this is what's going on, we're re-inhabiting the de jure government. And, of course, the corporate media twisted it around what they usually do, their New World Order nonsense, it fell apart. Let's just say the Obama administration attacked a lot of the leadership of the republic, and they went as far as back as having a treasury and getting ready to simulate the Federal Reserve into a gold-backed and gold and silver-backed currency, to having over $50 million worth of gold in reserves, the republic, and that got confiscated. I mean, it was a big thing, and the leader got 18 years in a federal prison. They had a convention out in Utah, and it was just a really big thing. And they were working with the Tea Party, believe it or not, also, and Tea Party Nation, and a lot of different other groups. And it was a very big thing behind the scenes, and it was lawful. And it's our true history. It's a good book to read. For anybody that's listening out there, or you, would be Re-Inhabited. Re-Inhabited is a very good book. It's by David and Jean Hertler. And I would read that book, and it tells you and depicts the entire history of our country and gives you the footnotes that you can do your own research to go back to the law, the real law, and look it up through the Library of Congress or whatnot, and see what happened to our country and why we've gotten so far away from what our government is supposed to be and how our federal government is supposed to be governing this country. And,
thing that a lot of people in this country don't really realize is that the founders, when our government was set up, they did not get rich doing what they were doing in government, because they only got paid when they were in Washington. They had to come to Washington on their own dime, and then they had to go back home on their own dime. They worked as farmers and other things to make a living. It wasn't done in Washington, D.C.
One of the greatest presidents I always enjoyed also reading about and researching was Andrew Jackson. Jackson, let me tell you something. That man, he didn't take no nonsense. You know, this is a guy that walked around with a bullet in his chest. You know, so and he'd do a duel with you right behind the, you know, he was something else. And they tried to assassinate him. And, he's the only president in U.S. history that paid off the United States deficit. You know, it paid off. The country was not in any debt. And after that, and his campaign slogan was no bank. And what he meant was no central bank. No printing of the money. What the founders warned us about time and time again, no central bank.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have an honest money supply, you have corrupt politicians, because the interest, the special interest groups and the lobbyists, they get paid off, bought off, and you have foreign interests that also have other interests in mind for this country, and that's what they've done. And that's why we get involved in foreign wars so much. And it's just you really have to understand the history of this country to really grasp how to fix the problems of this country and whether they're unpopular or not, you know.
And the sad part about it is too many people don't know a thing about America and what, you know, what our founding was. Your show, what day is that on?
I've pretty much been bouncing around a lot lately, but it's usually on Sundays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Or it'll switch to 7 p.m. I used to always be on Sunday, Thursday, and Friday and Sundays again. We'll start back over again. But I've been bouncing around because my busy schedule. So I have such a following and such a fan base, and so many people to pay attention to the show. Is that? I'll put the link up, and I'll do one tomorrow night, you know, and I'll put it up 2 hours before I go on, and I'll have plenty of callers and plenty of material to talk about, you know?
Okay.
So
yeah,
no,
if I can get in there, I'll be there too. You're more than welcome to join Conservative Nation Media. And
well, I appreciate that. I'd like to get you on. I always like the fellow podcasters to come on and talk about their podcast. And because, like I said, the First Amendment is so very important. That's why
it's
called
the
First Amendment.
Yep.
And I'll post a link in there in your chat room now. Hopefully I can get it going here. But I appreciate you having me on. I won't take up any more much more of your time, but thank you for the invitation. And yes, I will check out your show more often, and I'll spread the word about your podcast. And
Well, thank you.
We got to straighten out this country.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I got your link now, so I'll
all right,
copy that, and that way I can get in there and listen to you too.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And say good night to the listening audience. And thank you for having me on your show here tonight as a guest. They're just calling in randomly. I appreciate the time. I really do.
Oh, you're welcome. It was very enjoyable and very lot of information.
All right. Take care. God bless the Republic.
God bless you too. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye. Okay, that was actually a really excellent call. I need to do a break, and I will be back for the final segment here, and I'll be right back. Reeling in the Years reminds us that we will be right back after these important messages with more of the Voice of Reason on NWCR Radio. Conservative Nation Media, or CNM, is pleased to announce the return of Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown. Earlier this summer, Vincent took time off for the summer to do some things that he wanted to do with his family. Family is important, no matter what the left says. Now he is back. Starting on the 19th of September, Vincent Brown is back with Black by Color Only at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays with the show that you all loved. Vincent has a special way to let you know just what is going on and why it is good or bad. That's Black by Color Only on CNM, where America always wins. In the world of business, it is always exciting to announce the formation of a new one, and an LLC to boot. Enter now, I Am the Sky Drone Services, LLC, based out of Jamestown, Indiana, but working out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87112. With drones being the big up-and-coming billion-dollar industry, Eye in the Sky has gotten in close to the ground floor, and the possibilities are almost endless. From photography and weddings from above, to photographing homes for realtors, all the way to mapping, Eye in the Sky Drone Services, LLC, affiliated with Garden Graphics and Printing, can attain all your needs in photography from a perspective that was hard to attain to before without a good amount of risk to your employees. That's Eye in the Sky Drone Services, LLC at 505-317-8741 or email us at gardingr@reagan.com. That's GARDINGR@REAGAN.com. And the phone number again is 505-317-8741. We are your one-stop shop for drone services and printing needs. Give us a call. We do it all. Champagne. Okay, we are back for the final section of the show. I'm scheduled for 2 hours at in 5 minutes, so 2 hours up. But I got another story I wanted to read you here. I talked about this earlier from California. There's a California's got a governor candidate whose name is Major Williams, who wants to get rid of the state tax, make California safe by being pro-Second Amendment. Now, this goes completely against what the current governor wants to do. But Major Williams is a conservative Republican. And, well, I just lost it. My computer that I was looking at just went off because it ran out of power. But he's a conservative Republican, and he's running for governor in California, which actually is really good. I think the last Republican governor that they had that was actually a true Republican was Ronald Reagan. They had Schwarzenegger, but he wasn't completely conservative. And, you know, it's like my phone caller who talked about how the Constitution Party is probably the way to go with this. Republicans right now, I follow myself as a Republican, but I'm a conservative. And I'm a conservative first, a constitutional conservative first. And actually being a Republican falls farther on down the line because the Republicans have really just have not done what they need to do. They keep talking a good talk at times, and then when push comes to shove, they back off. And that's not the way this nation needs to be done. This nation needs to have people who won't back off when push comes to shove. Because when push comes to shove, you have to be like my pastor of my church here in Albuquerque. When they pushed him and said he had to close, he pushed back. And that's what we need to do. We need to start pushing back because the governors of our states, the president of our nation, they are no more than employees of the people. They are there to represent the people. They are not there to rule over the people. Cuomo and Newsom and Grisham and Whitmer all think that they are there to rule over the people. No, they are not. They are there to represent the people. And that's it. You know, and this Jacob Candelaria here in Bernalillo County here in Albuquerque who says that, you know, he is not an employee. Yes, he is. He may be coming at that from being a lawyer, but that doesn't matter. He is a Democrat in the House of Representatives here in New Mexico. He is an employee of the people, and that's all there is to it. We are coming up on the ending of the show now. I'm glad that I had actually a really good show today. I had a whole bunch of people here. I'm glad that everybody was here, but we are running out of time, and as I say at the end of all of my shows, you know, God bless you, God bless America, God bless our troops, and we shall not be ruled. Have a great weekend, and this weekend we have Black by Color Only on Saturday with Vincent Brown, and we have on Sunday American by Design with our very own Uncle Bing Fisher. And until next week at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, NWCR Radio is closing shop for the night, and I'll see you again tomorrow with my NWCRs removing the liberal blindfold. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. God bless you all.